Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, we're back here on the Atlanta Sports Guys. A few weeks away, but we're back here on the Atlanta Sports Guys. It's good to be back. I don't know what color shirt Garrett's wearing, and for the good folks on youtube.com/ChaseThomasPodcast, don't be disturbed. That is an actual mustache that Garrett Chapman of 99 The Game is rocking today.
It's the perk of working approval. In radio, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that,
no one actually sees my face.
For now. I mean, when are y'all going to the live stream? Like, I'm certain that's coming at some point, right? Like, the video all the time.
Maybe. We have the capability of doing it.
Yeah.
Like, we have the cameras and everything in there, but I don't know when that's going to come. I don't know. Because that was a COVID thing. They invested it and they put all that stuff in there, like, I don't know, December 2019. And they did it for, they ran it for like 3 or 4 months. And then obviously COVID. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, all right. And then we never went back to it. So
they should go back. People like watching this stuff.
People like that. Like, John Kincaid does it. Like, his station up in Philly, they do it. I mean, WFAN, obviously. I mean, WFAN's huge. And those are sister stations of ours. So I don't know, man. I mean, I think it's that opens the door to some other opportunities, and it's free advertising. You can just advertise right there on the bottom. I think it's a no-brainer, but I don't know. I don't make decisions.
There you go. But I would expect, especially if y'all already have the equipment, I'm going to guess that happens at some point sooner rather than later.
I hope so.
Something else that might happen sooner rather than later is the Falcons getting eliminated from playoff contention. Garrett, I need it to happen. I've been going back and forth the last couple of days and spending a lot of time watching and dealing with this Falcons season. I don't like it. I'm not having fun. I don't know if you're having fun, but I'm at the point now where the AFC South or the NFC South is so bad. Everyone's bad in this division. This team's not winning a playoff game anyway. Like, the way they're currently constructed, like, they're not winning a playoff game. You get the Cowboys in the first round or something. Like, it's just, they're getting steamrolled. They're getting boat raced. Pitts is gone for the year.
Yeah.
That really, really sucks. A lot of Elimide Zaccheaus. We're getting a lot of Elimide. We're getting a lot of just hanging around because of the style they play. We're Kentucky this year. That's what this reminds me of. It just feels like what a Kentucky fan had to feel on their way to a 6-6 under just a really rough year where you're like, our defense is good. We run the ball well. We're in every game because of the way we play. But it's also like, I don't enjoy sitting through this. Like, I felt it in my stomach that they weren't going to win. I knew they weren't going to beat the Commanders. But coming in, I was like, they should beat the Commanders. I think they're better, but I'm also not, like, I don't know. I'm so, like, this team is just going to stumble around into 7-9 or 7-10, 8-9 territory, and they still might win the division. I don't know, man. Where are you at right now?
I mean, if they go 8-9, that probably will be enough to win the division, assuming that you beat one of those wins is Tampa Bay at the end of the season. But I don't know. It's not pretty football. It's definitely not pretty. They've had a lot of situations where they should have won. Like, you look at the one you just talked about, the Commanders. They should have won that game. They should have beaten the Saints week one. They should have beaten the Chargers. I mean, look, they've had tons of opportunities to separate themselves, as crazy as that is. They lose last week, and they're still at only a half game back in the NFC South. That's just a testament, like you said, is how bad the NFC South is. But I don't care. Go make the playoffs. I know that you have in the rundown that you're like, do you want to make the playoffs or do you want to see them start losing games? Well, no, I want them to make the playoffs. You know, I mean, we're in this situation and nothing is promised. You don't know if anything is going to get better next year. You don't know who's going to be healthy in the playoffs. You don't know. I mean, you're 0-0 record. I know it's cliche. Get to the playoffs and crazy things happen. I mean, I don't think this team is going to go win a Super Bowl. But Arthur Smith is changing a culture right now. And I don't know why anybody would cheer for anything other than wins. I've heard this on the station. I do our Falcons flyover show on Sunday after or Sunday evenings after games. And I get callers every single week saying after a win, after a loss, after whatever, they're saying, we should just tank, just start losing games. We need better draft picks. We need baloney. What are we talking about? First off, tanking doesn't work. They don't tank. Tanking is a fallacy. Second of all, Arthur Smith is changing a culture in Atlanta. That is done by winning football games and answering questions on your team. I told you at the beginning of the season, this team is not going to be defined by its wins and losses. But you know what? Making the playoffs is pretty damn nice. You know, as long as they can answer some questions, they can get out there and compete. And they're competing in football games right now. These are tight games. And they're frustrating losses. I was very frustrated after that Commanders loss. I wanted to see them run the football, but I understand why the decision was made. Because it would have worked if, you know, someone doesn't get their paw up there and slaps it. But look, this team is maybe a handful of plays away from being an 8-win team right now. Like, how crazy is that to even think about? The Vegas number was 4.5.
Yeah.
We've already surpassed that, you know, and we're in playoff contention. Go win games. Go win the damn thing. Like, why not?
My favorite part is that I think it's not even a question that the Falcons are the best head coach in the division. Like, I don't think it's particularly close.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this is, like, I'm certain the Panthers will make a head coaching change and not go take the interim tag off Steve Wilks. But, like, man, Dennis Allen has been atrocious.
He's been a nightmare in New Orleans.
This week, another rough game management game from him. He has been a nightmare year one here. And they're probably going to lose Brady after that. Like, you look around. I feel pretty good about the next couple of years for Falcons football because I think this division's not getting any better anytime soon. I think the Bucs are on the decline. I think the Saints are just in for a rude awakening with their, like, the Bucs come due with the way they've managed the cap and just the way they built their team.
They got to pay the bill at some point.
Yeah.
At some point, they got to pay the bill.
A lot of NFC title games right there. There were some crazy endings, obviously, with the Minnesota Miracle that could have gone differently and maybe they went, like, they were in it, which is the main thing. They were contending and real contenders for several years playing this game. But now it's the reason Sean Payton ejected is because of this very thing, is he saw this was coming down the pike at some point. And Kamara, my dude, he's getting old. Like, well, he's probably in his last year or two with the team. But you look around and it kind of is just like, why not just make the playoffs? Because I don't know where they go in the draft. I don't know what they emphasize. I think Falcons fans still who really want a quarterback, I'm just like, I think if I'm Arthur Smith
and I have Terry Fontenot's ear, which I'm assuming it's a collaborative effort,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting some big uglies.
Yeah,
like, I'm bolstering that offensive and defensive line. Why not? That's your biggest weakness consistently.
Yeah,
on both sides Graham of the football
looks good.
And you want to run the ball? Go run the ball. You know, like everyone. And this is one thing specifically that everyone was like, we need to see what Desmond Ridder can do. We need to see this. And I don't think we see Desmond Ridder anymore. I don't think he's going to play.
I'm not there.
Just because Marcus has done just enough. He hasn't been great, but he's done just enough. You know, he's been fine. Very frustrating at times. He doesn't air the ball out, but he commands the offense. He gets the team lined up and ready to play, and it sounds simple, but you know, being an NFL quarterback, that's an extremely important part of the job, and he does it. And clearly Desmond Ridder is not ready for that, otherwise we'd be seeing Desmond Ridder. So
I don't know, but they also said, didn't Arthur Smith, like, I don't know when he said this, but he said he was just really, really ahead of schedule, where he was just like, compared
to... This was not a one-year fix.
No, what I'm saying is that like Ridder... I mean, we've seen Malik Willis for a little bit. We've seen how much Kenny Pickett struggled. Like, this class looks rough. But, I mean, I was listening to Theo Ash and Stay Hot here on our Blue Wire Pod Network the other day, and he does great work chopping up NFL film and looking at it. And he, like, his pre-draft evaluations of the quarterbacks was Desmond Ridder was the best quarterback in this class. And he, like, not even really close, is Ridder's the most polished and the best quarterback in this class. And I just, they're not going to rush him. Obviously, the offensive line being banged up, it's a problem. Not having Pitts now as a safety net for a rookie quarterback. He would like to have Pitts available. Yeah. Drake London's still there. I think at some point, I don't think with what Mariota is giving this team, throwing 15 times a game, doing the RPO stuff, missing on a deep ball 3 to 4 times a game, I think Ridder can handle that. It's not the situation that they're... that Pickett is in, or even like Malik Willis, where like they're trying to win a title, and also Tannehill's fine. I just think at some point you have to go, all right, Ridder can do just about 80% or more of what Mariota is doing at the bare minimum. let's just see. Like, we could still win the division and turn the keys over to Ritter at the end of the year. That's how bad this division is.
Yeah, well, maybe you have a point there, but there's also the other piece of the puzzle where it's like, look, this locker room loves Marcus Mariota. You can tell. Yeah. You listen to these guys talk about this guy. He's the leader on this team. He's a major leader for this team. And that's not a guy you bench. He has to be playing very poorly for you to bench him. If I'm Arthur Smith, I can't just bench the guy just to quote-unquote see what we have in Desmond Ridder. I don't think we see him at this point. Just because he has the locker room locked up. We're in the midst of a playoff race, as ridiculous as that sounds, we are. They can go win the NFC South and they can go hang a banner at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But look, at the end of the day, it's like I don't think that we're going to go for a quarterback. I think we go trenches. I think that's really the biggest need on this team when it comes to the NFL draft. And
I think they take another running back early.
No, but maybe not. I don't see Cordero Patterson doing
not
this
again. Not
in
the first round. Like, the first round stuff's gone. I think Cordero's gone after this year. I think
probably.
We're at the
I
end.
Can see that.
And Tyler
I can
Algier
see that.
Is just, I love Algier, but I think they want the rotation. And I think
they love the rotation. I think they love the ground and pound. That's what they want to do. But they're going to go offensive line in defensive line and continue to get some playmakers and probably re-sign like Rashawn Evans and some of those other dudes on defense. But no, but the point is, it's like, look, this team, you can let them, they have enough holes that you can just still fill a lot of them in the draft. And I think that we see some combination of Marcus Mariota versus Desmond Ridder in the spring, battling it out, having a legitimate QB battle. Best man win. If it's Marcus, it's Marcus. And then maybe next year we see what Desmond Ridder can do. Maybe that's when it happens. And if this team still needs a quarterback, then look, you've bolstered your roster, assuming that those picks hit next year and then the ones this year and last year continue to develop under the Terry Fontenot picks, that is. And then you're looking at a situation where I'm not comparing the Atlanta Falcons to the Kansas City Chiefs or any of those teams.
Many
like
are,
that,
though.
But you're coming into a situation where you have a solidified roster, you get a talented, exciting young quarterback. He's affordable. You can bolster up your skill positions and your offensive and defensive line, play good enough defense, at least some complimentary football, which I think is developing under Dean Pease. Then that's your system. There you go. That's your winning system because you have those skill players already locked up. I don't know. That's just what I'm seeing from this team so far. That's my thought.
The wild card is just, if they don't go with Ridder, and like I think people are making way too much of the Falcons' strong interest in Watson this offseason. I think that they're equating the two of like, oh, that means that they're willing and going to, they tip their hand a little bit, that they're going to go after a veteran quarterback, and they think that they're pretty close. Most teams around the league don't operate this way. The Falcons have never operated that way. Watson was a unique case where guys of his caliber are not just on the open market like that. Yeah, like that's just a rarity. Mm-hmm. Even if Kyler asked out, like the Lamar camp is just where we see the world differently. Like that's just one where I'm like, I don't even know where to begin with how bad of an idea paying Lamar Jackson after all these years.
But you're putting yourself right back into the same situation that you just got out of.
Right.
You know?
And it's going to be a year or two. Like when it ends for Lamar, it's going to end quick.
Oh, it's going to fall. It's going to be the same thing that you saw with Cam Newton, with Mike Vick, with all of these other guys who want to run the ball. The NFL catches up to you very, very quickly. And maybe you're an MVP for a few years and you play really well. And Lamar Jackson's a dominant player. He's one of the best football players, pure football players in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it forever. Not at the level that he is doing it and at taking the hits that he is doing and putting the team on his back in the way that he is. It's not sustainable, and the Falcons should steer very, very far away from him.
I hope so, man. But you never know,
because he's exciting and he sells tickets, and this city would adore a Lamar Jackson.
I would adore Lamar Jackson out of college. Like, if you drafted
absolutely.
I'm all in. Yeah, if you're not paying Lamar.
But the thing is, you can go find, I'm not going to say you can go find Lamar Jackson in the draft necessarily, but go find a young, exciting quarterback in the draft. And then you have him for 5 years and you're paying him, assuming you get him in the first round, you have him for 5 years at an affordable contract. And then you build up everywhere else and go compete for a Super Bowl.
I think
that's how the Rams did it.
Well, I think the plan is to build the infrastructure and like be able to win without a quarterback.
Well, that's
like
what I was saying. And that's what I'm saying. And that's what the team is doing right now. And that was that blueprint that I was just laying out for you.
That's why
they go
offensive
line.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Ridder will come. Like, we're more concerned. We don't really care who's at quarterback. It's a quarterback who we trust and then who can hand the ball off as many times as we need to.
Yeah.
And at least somewhat keep the defense honest and hit their intermediate stuff.
And this team is in playoff contention right now with Marcus Mariota as its starting quarterback right now. So just everybody who's listening, soak that in for a second. Understand it and appreciate it. You got a great head coach. And this team has a very bright future, and I'm very excited for that. Just the talent evaluator that we have in Terry Fontenot, too, I feel like is so wildly underappreciated, because this man caught a lot of flack for even just his selection of Troy Anderson for some reason. I love Troy Anderson. I think he's going to be a slam dunk. His athleticism is popping when you watch the Falcons on Sundays. His athleticism, he's all over the field. And he's a rookie. He's only going to get better, and he's still super raw. So he's just relying on his athleticism. And when up here catches up to everything else, God, that guy's going to be special. I mean, Terry Fontenot, his player evaluation chops are out of this world. And so I am all in on this regime. I love it.
I would agree.
We're not there yet, though. But we're not there yet. Patience.
Patience. And this class looks awesome. Like, I think this class is a home run. So
I love it.
Last thing on the Falcons, what are your pick game expectations? We'll see the first rookie quarterback taken this Sunday. Pitt's awful. Like, I think people are very much aware. Like, this is the worst Mike Tomlin year in Pitt history. They have issues everywhere. George Pickens, though, looks like a star. So that looks
George
like a home
Pickens
run pick.
An animal.
TJ Watt, off this. Like, maybe that's where Mariota, this is the end. That's why we see Ritter, is because he gets hit a couple times by TJ Watt in this one. But I don't know. This is another one where it's like the Falcons should win.
The Falcons are better.
They should win, but I don't feel great. Where are you at?
I mean, I'm in the same situation. The Steelers are one of those types of teams, and you know, like they're going to play close and they're going to play physically, and it's going to be a tough game. I think the Falcons absolutely should win because that Steelers offense is anemic. Najee Harris has been awful for them this year, but he's not playing. I don't know who the backup is off the top of my head. I was discussing him with somebody at some point, but his name escapes me right now. But he had a pretty solid week last week. But no, I'm not. The Falcons need to go in and win this game. Like, this is one of those winnable games that the Falcons have down the stretch. Because, I mean, you're looking at this situation. I mean, I think they have who do they have? Let me go pull up their schedule real quick. I mean, they've got the Steelers this week. That should be a win. The Saints next week. That should be a win. Ravens, and then they have the bye week, and then they have the Ravens. And look, the Ravens are a bit vulnerable. That's going to be a difficult game, but it's winnable, if you get what I mean. Cardinals, winnable. Buccaneers, winnable. They're going to be in these games. But you have to beat the Steelers. You have to beat the Steelers. That is your must-win game. Every game is a playoff game at this point for this team, but I mean, playoffs are right there. Go get it.
They are, and I think we'll be fine, but it's going to be a boring game, man. I think
it's going to be ugly. This is going to be an ugly football game. The Falcons don't win pretty. but you know what? I mean, while the rest of the NFL is zigging, we're zagging. We're running the football better than anybody else in the country. Tyler Algier's been a renaissance. Cordarrelle Patterson's a stud, as always. Marcus Mariota can do stuff with his legs. I mean, the Falcons are one of the best running football teams in the NFL, and we're starting to see teams get back to that. And maybe the Falcons are a step ahead. So,
well, I think they're
kind of
following the Niners thing, where it's like the Niners have figured this out. There's like a piece by Connor Orr on SI a couple days ago about their physical nature, right? Where Debo, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle all have one thing in common, which is they are excellent in breaking tackles. Like, they are a physical team, and tackling is at its worst the NFL's ever been. Less practice time, more emphasis on offense. Like, tackling is just not as good as it used to be. So if you build an offense with just guys you can't tackle that are just a pain to bring down, then you're gonna have a lot of success. And that's kind of I think what the Falcons are doing, where it's like, it's not fun to cover and bring down Kyle Pitts, or Drake London's huge, and Tyler Algier and Cordarrelle Patterson. They've built this offense that's extremely physical and kind of reliant on physicality and teams not tackling well. And on the flip side, the Falcons don't tackle well.
And don't underestimate the return of Elijah Wilkinson too.
Yeah.
That is a major comeback for the Falcons. That left guard has been a revolving door. I think they've had four different guys start
four,
the last
right?
5 weeks. since he's gone on IR. It's been bad. Elijah Wilkinson coming back is a big deal down the stretch. So don't underestimate that one.
I like it. When we look at the Hawks over the last week, how are you feeling? Because, look, I didn't want to say I told you so.
No, okay. When we talked to Max, mm-hmm. when Max had a good point on this, and yeah. he mentioned this a little while back, before this, when DeJounte was initially traded for, brought into Atlanta, mm-hmm. slow down. the first month, November is going to be ugly at times. Mm-hmm. These guys need to learn how to play with each other. But at the same time, I was not expecting John Collins to be this bad. I wasn't expecting Trae Young to be shooting this poorly from three. Mm-hmm. God, it's been ugly. But you know what? They're still right where they need to be. They've gotten up. They beat the Bucks. They beat the a surging Sacramento team that was playing lights out at the time. They'd won six games in a row in the Hawks. My brain is still on Falcons mode, but. No, but they beat the Hawks. The Hawks beat a strong Sacramento team when they came to town here. So we've seen what this team can do, but we've also seen them collapse down the stretch, blow three consecutive double-digit leads, one of which to the Houston Rockets, and that was just ugly. One of the worst losses of the season. Hopefully, the worst loss of the season. We don't have anything like that again. But look, this is still a good team. It's not a healthy team. I think we have seven players that aren't on the injury report going in to get the game tonight, which is. Awful. We have seven healthy players. Trae Young's not even healthy.
Jared Culver's an important player right now.
That's so bad, and it's so bad. So as long as we don't fall down the rabbit hole that we did last year around Christmas time, mm-hmm. oh, God, as long as we don't do something like that, I think we'll be fine. I mean, this is still, we're right on track for what I was expecting, 4 or 5 seed. And I think
they're
that's
six right
fine.
Now if the playoffs started today. The Nets are coming.
Yeah,
they
but the thing is,
straight.
The Hawks are also playing some of their worst right basketball. There. Bogdan Bogdanovic hasn't come back. He's officially questionable. He's coming back soon. But Landry Fields, he was on 92.9 the other day, and he says still a couple more games. So I expect to see him maybe next week, maybe 2 weeks. But questionable makes me feel a little bit better, and then him coming in is going to help this team astronomically.
We hope.
He will. He will absolutely help this
team.
We'll
see how healthy he is. I don't know.
I mean, he needs to be healthy, but I don't think they're taking their time with Bogey. They're absolutely taking their time with him, and that's what they need to do, because this is a team that needs to be healthy come the new year, and I think they
not.
Will be.
Who's going to be healthy? Like the injury report right now is so it's kind of ridiculous. Bogey's out. Capella, he might play tonight. Recording this Friday before the Nuggets game, which the Hawks are not favored in, and could fall to 12-11 after tonight. John Collins out minimum 2 weeks, so it could be longer with a high ankle
bad
sprain.
Ankle sprain too.
Yeah, so it's probably going to be longer. Justin Holliday's health and safety protocols. DeAndre Hunter out with the thigh issue. Ankle for Jalen Johnson. That's a net positive because Jalen Johnson's a terrible
you hate Jalen
NBA player.
So much.
He's so bad. He does nothing well. I can't stand it. The only thing he does well is in transition. Like he does. Good
oh, he's
transition
beautiful dunks. In transition. I love
That's
him in
it.
Transition.
That's it.
How about AJ Griffin though? I
Griffin's
love AJ Griffin.
Been, he's a,
Griffin
he's
a, looks great.
Griffin
great.
Is not.
And I think the concerns about his defensive prowess or lack thereof were a little overblown. I think he has been. I'm not going to say he's been great.
Yeah,
he's been good
he's
enough, and he's been in the way.
Rookies are
and
usually
better
bad.
Than most people can say. He's getting steals, man. He's long.
He's shooting 38%
and he's shooting threes. Yeah. He's shooting threes. He's the only person on this team that knows how to hit a three-pointer.
Well, speaking of threes, they are 29th in three-point attempts.
It's miserably bad.
27th in three-point percentage. They don't even take a lot of threes. They miss the ones they take. Their free throw rate is abysmal. 24th in the league, which with DeJounte Murray and Trae Young and this, I don't understand how they're 24th in the league in free throws. The offense is just so stagnant in the half court. Like they just, they're
these guys are
DeJounte
learning how to play with each other, man. But they're still sixth in the Eastern Conference.
I know.
They're right where they need to be. They need to hover around striking range until they figure each other out. And then once they figure each other out, this offense has the chance to explode. I'm not 100% on board with it yet.
Are you
it's
still on
a
the
bad team right now?
With,
it's not a very good team.
Do you
right
think
now.
It's still happening? Like what? Offensive explosion? You think that's still on the?
I mean, if the, with DeJounte Murray and Trae Young on this team, yes, I think it will eventually. I think we need to temper. I mean, this is what we expected. I mean, this is what we expected. Slow start. November was always going to be a little brutal at times, and we always expect it. And that's what we expected. So we don't want to overreact one way or the other. This is not a great basketball team right now. Nate McMillan has been less than desired so far this season. He has not been very good. I don't think he's been very effective personally. Mm-hmm. But long season. This team, it's an expensive team. Mm-hmm. And I think they still need some more pieces and they need to figure it out. But, you know, they're ugly and frustrating to watch, but patience. That's what I'm going to say. Patience. Because this team has potential to be very good, especially once it gets healthy with Bogey coming back. I mean, AJ Griffin's been a fantastic surprise. If it wasn't for AJ Griffin, this team would be out of the playoff picture right now, for November at least. But if it wasn't for AJ Griffin, this team would not be in the top eight.
DeAndre. He made it. How long did he make it? He made 21 games until it was just, all right, here comes the DeAndre and Hunter injury stuff. Can't really count on DeAndre Hunter. Doesn't matter what year it is. You just can't. Like, there's always
been, he's been a good player, man.
He's been great.
He's been very good when he's playing.
He's important. Like, he's an important piece. He's shooting, what, 39% from three?
Yeah. No, he's playing well. No, he's playing well, and he's playing strong defense. I mean, he's looking good. He's an important part of this team, and he's going to be an important part of this team. But, you know, this team still just needs to, it still needs to come together and get healthy. Please, for the love of all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, just get healthy. Lord, this team has never been healthy together all at the same time. For a decade, it feels like. I know they've only been together for a month, but Lord have mercy, this team is never healthy.
Killer. I enjoy DeJounte steals. Like, it's a lot of fun watching DeJounte play defense, and it's a lot of fun seeing him in transition. The mid-range stuff, he's really good there.
He's a three-point
shot. Looks rough. It always is going to look rough. He's like one of those guys you're just always surprised. He's shooting 34%, which is about the average is fine. But it's just whenever they go up, you're like, oof. It just doesn't look pretty. He doesn't have a pretty shot.
It's so ugly.
It really is. It's just like, I don't ever. It reminds me of Rondo, or like any Rondo three that ever goes in, you're like, wow.
Oh, it's got a chance, I guess, because he shot it.
It just doesn't inspire a lot of hope.
He's such a dog, though.
Like, I don't see DeJounte hitting like a big time three in a Eastern Conference Finals. I don't see him just going off and him just isolating with
Harden, Damian Lillard.
Paul George. I just don't see it.
Trae Young's taking that shot anyway. What are we talking about?
Well, we'll see. We haven't seen DeJounte in a big
Don't tell me that you think that this is DeJounte's team all of a sudden.
I would say DeJounte has the stronger personality. And I would say in a high pressure.
You can be a leader on the team. That doesn't make it your team, I guess. Who's the dude on this team? It's Trae.
What do you mean?
It's Trae. Yeah. He's the dude on this team.
Do you think if you asked DeJounte that question, he would say it's Trae?
I don't know. That's what it needs to be. You paid him what? He's making $35 million. I don't want to get into his finances, but you're paying him at a max contract, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You better be the dude. You better.
You know what also doesn't help? That Luka's probably the MVP favorite right now.
Get out of here. Luka's such a good basketball player, man. That guy, he already broke Dirk's record for 40-point games. He's 23.
Has Travis Schlink publicly apologized this season yet? He should have to, on 99, have the hookup. You should have him and Landry each week go, look, we made a mistake. Don't watch any Mavs
games. They will never in a million years say that. They can never say that.
They can't after until he retires. After it's over. After it's all over.
After he retires, he can admit it. But there's no rational human being on this planet who thinks that Trae's a better player than Luka. But
hold on. Trae, are you sure that rational, I can see Hawks Twitter?
Rational.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are elements of Trae's game that are superior to Luka's. Sure. He's a better playmaker, better passer. Oh, yeah. No, of course he is. He's a better passer. I'll give him that. Okay. But he's also 6'1".
Yeah.
Can't play defense. I don't
know. Luka just backs down.
I'm not going to go down the Luka Trae Young debacle, whatever.
We're not
debate.
Going down. I'm just
We're
saying,
not going down
watch
that.
Watch a lot of Luka lately.
Look, the Hawks are
it hurts
fine.
Me.
They're
the combination
fine,
of the Hawks offense and watching Luka week over week is just crushing me all over again.
The Hawks are going to be fine. We just need to be patient. Be patient with the team.
What is fine? Like, they cannot keep going this way. Like, the vibes are bad. The vibes are bad.
Make the playoffs.
Collins wants out, like, again. And teams are calling about
it. Collins is gone. There's no way.
But what is his trade value right now? He's been awful this year. Like, what is his trade value?
I don't know.
What does he get you?
I'm concerned more about his trade value that they're going to sell so low on him.
Yeah.
That's not going to be pretty. But you know what? At this point, and the thing is, it's like I said this on Dopey Millennials last week during Thanksgiving. It was like, you don't trade John Collins and get better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's you're not going to be better this year by trading John Collins. That's not why you're trading him. You're trading him because you need to open up the money, because for some reason, Tony Ressler told us that he was going to spend money to make this team a contender.
Speaking of, then, Kevin Herter, pretty good. Kevin Herter, he'd be nice to have right now.
And averaging 7.5 threes per game.
That'd be nice in this rotation right now.
He's top 10. He's literally top 10 in the NBA in three-point shooting, last I checked. And he is the only person in that top 10 who averages 7.5 threes per game. So he's shooting lights out. He's been a stud. He was not going to do that here in Atlanta, though. I don't think he needed a new system.
This
year?
Needed a new,
maybe the yeah, but good
he,
point. Yeah,
this whole time he would have been. I think,
but no, because he wouldn't have been on the same. I think he's in a better situation.
Justin Holiday's not playing, which is a net positive. Aaron Holiday plays less, net positive.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, look at this situation. I think Kevin Herter would have made the Hawks a lot better. I don't think that the Hawks are making Kevin Herter better necessarily. He's in a better situation over there for his game, but the Hawks are certainly struggling.
Well, they also sold low. It's like, okay, that's fine, but then you lost the
They
trade.
Sold him for Mo Harkless, a guy who's not on the team anymore.
Immediately waived.
Was it Justin Holiday or Aaron? Justin Holiday, and then a future second round pick or something? A future first round pick?
It scares me with what they're going to get for Collins now. I think Herter is more valuable than John Collins in today's NBA. And what we've seen, like, I think Herter is a more valuable player. So I'm terrified of what John Collins is actually going to bring back.
I don't know
like
about
Royce
that.
O'Neal from the Nets, and you're going to be like, oh my God, this is bleak.
Oh no, I don't think it's going to be. It's going to be a move, and it's not going to be sexy. It's not going to be sexy. Because I think expectations ramped up too quickly last year, or after the Eastern Conference Finals run. But they're not slowing down. They won't slow down. There's no need for them to slow down. Look, this team showed what it's capable of doing, and they got to get back there at some point. So they got to do it. They have to. That's the floor for expectations at this point. This team needs to get there, get back into competing at a high level. And I don't know.
Who do you think benefits the most?
They don't look like a good enough team to do it right now.
Who do you think benefits the most with Collins out for 2 weeks? Who do you think actually gets the most out of this?
Nobody.
Nobody?
I don't know who benefits. Honestly, I have no idea who benefits from it.
I would have said DeAndre Hunter before he got hurt.
Maybe Onyeka, because maybe you get him out there and see, because out of just sheer necessity. So he's going to get out there and maybe see what he can do at four. Really? I mean, if DeAndre Hunter can come down and play the four effectively.
That's what it should be.
Yeah, I think he can potentially do that, because then you can have a situation where you go pure small ball, having Onyeka Okongwu play the five. Clint wouldn't be on the floor for this, but you have Onyeka at the five. You have DeAndre Hunter at the four. You get
AJ at the three.
Well, yeah, I was going to say more Bogey. Yeah. Bogey DeJounte on the wings, and then Trey taking up the middle of the floor. That's a small ball lineup that would be scoring a lot of points, score a bunch of points. But AJ Griffin, I guess it's another guy you can put in there at the wing too. He would be that dude, but.
I mean, that's the most important lineup for
like
me.
Like I said,
like
the Hawks aren't a better team without John Collins.
Onyeka, DeAndre, AJ, DeJounte, and Trey. I want to see those five play extended minutes. That's what I want to see.
That's what has to happen right now.
Yeah.
Right now. But the team is not better without John Collins. And under no circumstance are they a better team. Maybe with the way John Collins has been playing. But look, I don't see who's the dude behind John Collins. Because you're assuming that the guy behind him would be any better.
Well, hold on. I've seen enough. Jalen Johnson's ready. Let's hand the keys. What is your favorite Jalen Johnson moment this year?
Oh, and he threw the ball out of bounds on the baseline.
He's
Kevin
Knox.
He was trying
Knox.
To do a pass, and he
Knox
jumps up in
him.
The air for no reason and just throws the ball out of bounds. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Slow down.
Jalen Johnson is the Kevin Knox now. It's like, oh, all the talent.
The Kevin Knox experience.
Yeah, he's going to be on 19 different NBA teams. Like, Jalen Johnson's going to bounce around. Like, it's just not. It's not good. not happening.
He'll be fine. I'm not overreacting to him. I don't think he's going to be super great necessarily, but
I'm just always out on guys who don't have a skill. Like one, or I shouldn't say don't
he have doesn't a have a discernible strength.
Right. Like he, I don't know what his strength. That's the great way to put it. Is like I don't know if he has a real strength in this league. I don't know what it is.
That's what I like about AJ Griffin.
Yeah, we know what AJ is.
AJ's a sniper, and mm-hmm. he plays good enough defense, and he's got good length, and I think he's athletic. He can continue to develop. I'm excited to see what he can become, but
I'm very in on the AJ Griffin.
I'm big in on AJ Griffin. He's not like a rookie of the year kind of guy, but he's going to be a dude who's going to continue to play at a high level, and that excites me. If he finishes top five in the rookie of the year, that's.
Do you believe if the Braves don't re-sign Dansby that they'll go internal? Do you think that's all posturing?
No, they're not. Well, because the thing is, all right, if you don't re-sign Dansby Swanson, I think that means that his contract got up into like the 25, 26, 27 range. I don't think they're going to want to pay that. I don't think that they should. If that's the case, then go get me a Bogarts or something. Because look, what one thing that we see in Major League Baseball, what's the first thing, especially with infielders, what's the first thing that you see start to erode over time? Defense.
Mm.
What is he known for? That is, what is he bringing to the table above all else? Defense. You can't sign him to a $125 million contract over the next 4 years, 5 years, and expect the defense to stay at this gold glove level necessarily. You sign him to a really, really long-term deal, that's not going to go well for the Atlanta Braves, especially if you're paying it at a very high AAV. If that's the case, go get me a bat. Go get me a Bogarts. Go get me a Trey Turner, somebody who's going to hit the ball effectively and consistently, more importantly. I do think that the Atlanta Braves retain Dansby Swanson. I'm pretty confident that it's going to happen. But we saw this last year. That was my opinion last year, and we saw what happened. You enter the open market, somebody's going to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get to that situation where the money gets so lucrative, like $25 million, I'm not paying him $25 million. I can't justify that. He's not he shouldn't be the highest paid AAV on this team. He's a big part of that locker room. He's a big part of that clubhouse. He showed flashes last year for long stretches of time where he was like an MVP like hitter, and on defense too with his glove. But I don't think that they're going to pay that much money for him. I think they should still go get him. I know your question was, will they go internal? Probably not. I just don't think that they're where they want to be with the guys in house. And this is still a team that can go win a World Series. So if you lose a Dansby Swanson, you need to retain at least somebody at that level and then see if you can go win another World Series. But if you do price yourself out of Dansby Swanson, that means that most of those other guys are around that price point. And that makes me a little concerned.
I don't think they get any of the four. And I think it was, who was it? Was it Passan or Heyman? I forgot who it was. Who was like, if the Braves don't get re-signed Dansby, they're not in on the other four or the other three.
Yeah, and that's kind of my line of thinking at this point. I want them to. It's just going to be so expensive. And I have seen no.
It's probably just moving Albies over to shortstop and then they'll put Vaughn at second, would be my guess.
What would you say? You said what?
Move Albies to short and Vaughn to second.
No. They put Ozzy Albies at second for that reason. He doesn't have the range.
Do you think Vaughn does?
I think he's, yeah. I would put Vaughn at shortstop well before Dansby, Ozzy. No, absolutely not. He's too small.
He won't be Arcia.
I don't like that situation. He came up through the system as a shortstop.
Yeah.
But Vaughn is also, he's a much bigger player. I think he's much more athletic than like as far as on defense. And so you don't want to put that guy at second when you have the opportunity to put him at short. I'm putting him there. I just don't think he's ready necessarily. Maybe he can come in and make some plays and be a stopgap. And that's what he was this year at second base. But we also saw what happened when he, like, Major League Baseball pitching started adjusting to him, which is what you see with everybody not named like Ronald Acuna, you know? So
my gut tells me Dansby's gone. I don't think they're going to pay Dansby what
I'm getting worried he's going to go to St. Louis or something.
Right. Like, I think he's just going to get priced out. I think there's going to be a number, and the Braves aren't going to match it, and they're like, we love you, but this is just too much for Dansby Swanson. Then they sign Elvis Andrews, as a one-year stopgap, and then they spend the 20-ish million on a starter. Like, I think they don't spend it on a positional player. I think they're going to run it back with Ozuna. They're going to run it back internally, and then they're going to use that money they lost for Dansby on somebody like Chris Bassett, who I think his AAV, it looks like his contract's going to be somewhere around 20. You could maybe talk yourself into Carlos Rodon. Maybe they get in the Nate Eovaldi sweepstakes, then Noah Syndergaard, Taiwan Walker. I think they're going to add a starter. Like, that's the thing. It's like, if they don't re-sign Dansby, my gut tells me that they use that money on a pretty good starter to fill out this rotation.
I could see that. You know, I could see that. I Elvis Andrews just doesn't.
It doesn't move the needle for me at all. Weekend.
No,
there'll be weeks where it's Elvis Andrews in Ozuna. Yeah,
he's fine. He's a dude that you go in and plug him in at 8 or something. You plug him in at the bottom of the lineup. I had to Google him to see what to get his stat lines and everything. But I mean, 2.309 on base percentage, solid. 7.73 slugging, OPS plus 116 last year. I mean, he's fine. 103, I guess. No, I guess he was traded to the White Sox. No, he's 103 total. I mean, he's fine. Doesn't really move the needle for me, necessarily.
He was the definition of average. He had a 105 diversity plus. He's so
average. It's just average.
Like, yes. 17 homers, though. A little bit
of
pop.
I mean, he had a lot of home runs. That's pretty good. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, ugh. You're going from Dansby Swanson. You're going to feel a tangible drop-off. Like, going from Dansby Swanson to Andrews. So, maybe... I mean, one thing that kind of gives me hope is if they are able to offload Marcell Ozuna's contract somehow. And I don't know if they're going to be able to do that necessarily. But
they're talking it in. Like, they're in. They're like, he's going to bounce back next year. What is happening?
I don't know, man. I saw Toscano put something out there with that.
Yeah.
If you're able to do that just to get rid of the contract, you do that and then trade Marcell Ozuna and a prospect away for, I don't know, a bag of marbles, and use that money to go re-sign Dansby Swanson, then the Atlanta Braves are a better baseball team.
I just don't think that's going to happen.
But I'm not confident that that's going to happen. Alex Anthopoulos is also a lot smarter than you or I, and I think he's worked his magic before. I mean, look, he turned Freddie Freeman into Matt Olson. And that, yeah, he's not Freddie Freeman, but he's also 27 and has he will be a lot better baseball player next year. But I mean, we'll be fine. I'm not going to sit here. If we don't get Dansby Swanson, Alex Anthopoulos knows that we have a team that can go win a World Series again next year, as soon as next year. We're right back in the thick of things. This is an extremely talented team that's very, very good. And having a competent shortstop is an extremely important part of that cog. He's a cog in the machine. And if you don't get Dansby Swanson, I'm confident that they're going to get somebody who is a very good baseball player. You know, like a guy who's, I don't think that Andrews is going to be the dude. I think that, especially with the following that Dansby has here, I don't know. I go back and forth. I mean, even in this conversation, I keep talking and I'm like, my brain is going like this and I'm just waiting through. I just don't know. I don't know. I want Dansby to come back. I just don't want to have to pay him so much money.
That's why I just don't. I think he's going to cost too much. I think the market. Dansby's going to get overpaid by somebody who lost the bigger sweepstakes here. Like, you saw the Trey Turner numbers, reported numbers, and you're like, oh, it's in the 300s. Like,
stupid.
Dansby's gone. If that's where Trey's going to end up, like, Dansby's gone.
Aaron Judge is about to make that much money, too. Aaron Judge is a good baseball player.
Aaron Judge is absolutely
worth it.
He's
such a good baseball player. He's not worth that much money.
He is.
I don't know, like, man. I don't know. I don't think he's
for the Yankees, the Mets, the Padres, the Dodgers. He's absolutely
as long as Dansby doesn't go play somewhere like New York or
I don't think he would do that.
That would make me visibly ill.
Dansby going to the Dodgers though would not. The Dodgers don't really operate like that. My guess would be like, if Dansby's gone, I'm gonna guess like Texas.
He's going to St. Louis.
Maybe St. Louis.
No, he's going to St. Louis. If he's gone, he's going to St. Louis.
I don't know.
And they would have the best defensive infield, I think one of the best defensive infields in Major League Baseball history.
Maybe.
It's so good. That left side with
Chicago, I wouldn't roll out either.
He wants to win.
Chicago, the NL Central is bad. You can win the NL Central.
Yeah, and the Cubs are worse.
Yeah, the Cubs aren't that far away though.
Cardinals are a much better team.
And no one thought the Cardinals would be that good. No one thought that they were going
to
be.
Goldschmidt's going to fall down. Goldschmidt's going to come crashing down to the planet.
So I think they're fine. I think the Cardinals had a really good year, and I think they were a little above their weight. I think the NL Central is pretty gettable if the Cubs do a couple different things. We'll end on this. Outside the box free agent signing that interests you for the Braves. Like, what is one name for you that no one's talking about with the Braves that you're like, I would love.
Nobody's talking about.
Yeah. That you're like, I want this to happen. I was going to say Jacob DeGrom. People are talking about DeGrom. It's not happening, but people are talking about
it. I don't know. I think it's fun. He's a Braves fan. He grew up a Braves fan. He's a fun dude to talk about. Just for more reasons than one. One, you're taking him away from the Mets. Two, he's the most feared pitcher in baseball, period. But I don't know. I think it's going to be some major player as like a pitcher. I think you started going down that path a little bit. You talk about Chris Bassett and guys like that, but I don't know, like a Verlander or something. Like, sign him in, bring him in for a 1 or 2 year deal. I don't know, but I don't know. I feel a lot more like, so like the situation that they're in right now, like what's your lineup rotation looking at right now? So you got Max Fried, you've got Charlie Morton, you've got potentially Mike Soroka, you've got Ian Anderson coming back.
Are you throwing Ian Anderson and Mike Soroka in this starting rotation on opening day?
Oh, no. I'm just looking at guys who could be potential starters for the Braves next year.
Well, no, let's do who's starting. Kyle Wright is going to be our rotation. Like, we're certain are in the opening day rotation. It's Wright.
Oh, Kyle Wright, Charlie Morton, Max Fried. Who am I forgetting? My Braves.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't, like, it's kind of unsettled. That's why I think they're going to go arm. Like, I think they're going to have a pretty big arm.
Oh, Spencer Strider.
Spencer Strider, yeah. Why? Yeah. Like that. So that's four. So there's one spot. And you could say you could go in with, I'm just off the Soroka stuff. Like,
Kyle Wright, Bryce, they have Bryce, ESPN has Bryce Elder at number five.
Well, what's his name? Colby Aller is back. So maybe it's Colby.
Who knows? I could see the team going for another arm, because you do that, and then you have Charlie Morton is potentially your fifth best pitcher at that point. What? Like, that's pretty good, you know. And Charlie Morton, who I'm flabbergasted. That's a word I haven't used in a long time. Flabbergasted that Charlie Morton signed another contract.
Yeah,
and he's coming back. They basically just re-upped his option or whatever, but I am very surprised that he's coming back. So,
but he's needed.
I don't know.
Like, they really sneakily needed Charlie Morton to come back.
Yeah, but you plug him into the five spot. Go get yourself an exciting top end rotation, top of the rotation guy.
I don't think it'll be exciting top of the rotation guy. I think it'll be like a souped up Dallas Keuchel a couple years ago. When we got Keuchel, where Keuchel was not an elite, but he was good. Keuchel did his job.
Keuchel.
Ground ball guy. He had a thing.
Biggest mistake that this team ever made was pitching Keuchel instead of Soroka.
It's fair. But Keuchel was good.
That was such a mistake.
Keuchel was fine in Atlanta.
He was fine. Terrible.
He was fine.
He lost badly. Soroka. And then Soroka goes, oh, Soroka's a better pitcher on the road. No, Soroka was your best pitcher that year. Pitch him. But I'm glad we didn't make that mistake. Snit didn't make that mistake twice.
Garrett Chapman, what can the good folks check out from you and the team over there at 99 The Game this week?
I'm heading down to Tyrone, Georgia, Sandy Creek.
Oh.
Playing Carver.
How far is Tyrone from Atlanta?
Yeah, 40 minutes.
That's not bad.
I gotta have to skedaddle. it's gonna be tight. No, but it's gonna be a lot of fun. So we've got a college football game time tomorrow morning, previewing all of the big college football matchups. We've got our SEC championship preview show, and that's gonna be a lot of fun. Then we get Falcons Flyover on Sunday after hopefully another Atlanta Falcons W, but we'll see.
I think Colquitt's gonna win the state title in 7A. Colquitt's just beat
Colquitt's
the crap
very
out of
good.
Everybody.
Milk Creek's good too. Buford lost.
Yeah,
one of the most shocking things I've ever seen at the high school level. That's incredible to me.
And then Carrollton just beat the crap out of Walton the following week.
Well, Carrollton. That Carrollton Buford game would have been bonkers. That would
Speaking
have been
of, by the way, with Carrollton,
Carrollton's very good. I talked to their head coach. 7A? I talked to the oh shoot, I'm blanking on his name. But I actually talked to him last week about about that game, and
that they moved up
good. And their quarterback's a freshman, by the way.
Hmm.
True freshman starting at the varsity level, 7A.
What's his name?
I got it. Hold on.
I feel like I know who that is.
I have some notes.
He's already getting some buzz. What is his name?
Oh, shoot. Julian Lewis.
That's right.
Julian Lewis. Yeah, he threw for 3,400 yards and like 40 touchdowns so far this year as a true freshman.
He's been offered by Auburn and Alabama.
He's 15.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's incredible what this kid is doing. But no, this kid's going to be special. He's going to be very, very good. And Carrollton, I mean, Carrollton's a juggernaut.
But they have not always been in the highest classification.
No, they've gone back and forth.
I've never seen them in the highest classification.
Not in 7A. I didn't think they were going to have this level of success. But no, I think it's going to come down to Colquitt and Mill Creek. Are they both on that side of the bracket?
No, they're on different sides.
No, they'll meet state.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
hold on. Shots fired at Milton over here.
Milton's really good, actually. That's a good point. Oh, the 7A is going to be so much fun. The 7A playoff chase is fascinating this year.
I might tune into Colquitt Carrollton tonight.
That's
going to
be fun. That's going to be a great game tonight. Plus, the Pac-12 championship is tonight. Oh, man. Georgia high school football.
Hawks play, allegedly.
Boom. Sorry?
Hawks play, allegedly, tonight.
I'll catch the highlights. Not great. I don't know. Morale is low.
Garrett Chapman, thank you as always, my friend.
Of course.
Love the mustache.
Glad we can get back in action, man.
Yeah, absolutely. We're back in gear, man. But, you know, it's going to be a fun weekend and a lot to watch. And good luck covering the games tonight. Drive safe. And I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, man.
See you, buddy.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.